the alien file was established by the Immigration Act of 1940, and the files actually began to be compiled beginning in 1944. The files contain within them a series of records, some of them dating back to the 1800s, that were established by various pieces of legislation. And when the A file was created, it was created because there was an interaction between an alien and the U.S. government for an immigration benefit. And then the earlier files were pulled and consolidated into that alien file whenever that transaction occurred. So we've got the files date from 1944, but within them are records that date back into the 1880s.
So,
and earlier.
So that means they're 69 years old, so you're getting to the point of a decision on what to do with them. What form do they take? Are they yellow paper? What are they, an odd format? Tell us what they look like.
A wide variety of documents, everything from photographs to recordings of voices to the records, the transcripts of hearings, and on. School records, birth records, some from the old country, just a wide treasure trove of information in these files.
And why did the USCIS and the archives move to retain them, and where will they be kept?
You mentioned earlier the growing recognition, the growing consciousness of the importance of genealogy and knowing who we are and where we came from. And I think that sentiment has permeated government over the years, and there's been a recognition that this was a set of documents and historical experiences that we just could not give up. We could not let go. Too important to understanding the history of our country, to understanding the individual histories of the millions of immigrants who've made this country what it is.
And so is there any plan now to digitize them? There's a lot of websites that people use now that have millions of ancestor records, and maybe you could add these to those, or how will people get access to them?
Well, they'll be able to access these files through the National Archives. It will be up to the archives to make them available, and the plan is to do that beginning sometime next summer at the various locations where they place them. In the case of folks entering through the Port of San Francisco, the files will be stored at the National Archives facility out in San Bruno. Others will be, and the majority, I think, will be at their archive site in Lee's Summit, Missouri, or in Kansas City, I should say.
And so the individual, family, or researcher would have to travel to those facilities or those sites in order to see the records?
They can write to find out whether the files actually are there, you know, what's there. We're going to be providing an electronic index with the files to NARA, and that will contain the name, date of birth, country of birth, and A number, and perhaps some additional information that that NARA will be able to search. And whatever NARA decides to do with that information in terms of making that accessible will be done.
I think people get the general impression that a lot of the immigration took place earlier than the 1940s, you know, that the majority of immigration to the United States took place in the 1800s and the late 1800s. So how much of the immigration in the United States took place during this time, during the 1940s?
Well, the very, very, very little immigration took place during the 1940s, in fact. Most of it took place beginning in the 1870s on through 1920, the late 20s. And then, of course, we had the Great Depression. And that curtailed migration. And then during the Second World War, the lead up to the Second World War and the Second World War, immigration was very much constrained. That said, these records, as I say before, begin in 1944. So if there was a transaction with the INS, immigration, the old Immigration and Naturalization Service, one of its components, the Bureau of Citizenship, after 1944, chances are that the record will be in the A file, regardless of when the individual entered. And some of them may have well entered in the early 1900s during that period of maximum migration.
Greg Smith is our guest today, Associate Director and Chief of the National Security and Records Verification Directorate for U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services.
And tell us, how many records are there? Is this millions, tens of millions? What's the scope of the job of getting these all sorted and in place?
The initial transfer will involve about 135,000 files, alien files. Every 5 years going forward, we will do the next 5 years, for example, we will do all those who were born 1910 to 1914, and then each 5 year increments thereafter. And
so each year you'll be doing a 5 year block.
Each 5 years we'll be doing a 5 year block. That will give NARA ample time to, and us ample time to prepare these files for the proper presentation. In over time, we're talking about millions of files. We have 21 million files that are retired, but we have 54 million files in total. 33 million are active files. They're in play, and in time, these will transfer. An important part of the agreement, if I could just add this, was that we're including for the first time electronic files and giving them the same schedule of transfer as for the paper files. And in the foreseeable future, it's now a foreseeable future, we will be transferring digital records to NARA. This will be quite a while from now, but it's good to have that locked in place.
Well, this is, I think, a great benefit to everyone, every historian or family historian that wants to search their family records out there. And the cost of this, are you sharing the cost, or is it largely borne by immigration services, or how does that work?
Well, the cost of maintaining the files will transfer from us to NARA. That's part of the undertaking. And since USCIS is a fee-based agency, this is a good thing. The funds will be funds made available to NARA.